Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Moby Dick is obviously an epic tale that takes place in a number of different oceans, but it climaxes in the Pacific itself. And this is based very much on Melville's own experience in a whaler in the Pacific. What happens in Moby Dick is that Captain Ahab, is obsessed with his quest to capture and seek vengeance for his own injuries, to capture a great white whale. Melville, it appears, was aware of similar stories, if not of vengeance, at least of epic struggles between whalemen and the whales that they sought. The exhibit, Cook, Melville and Gorgon, Three Voyages to Paradise, is a collection of exquisite art, original artifacts and navigational instruments dating from the middle or early part of the 18th century right through to the early 20th century. And it chronicles the lives and works and stories behind three crucial people in the story of the Pacific. James Cook, the British navigator and explorer, Herman Melville, the writer of Moby Dick, and Paul Gauguin, the post-impressionist French painter. We have some truly extraordinary pieces of art and artifacts associated with Herman Melville himself. For example, we have a piece of scrimshaw. Scrimshaw is literally a piece of whale bone coming from various parts of the whale, obviously, that's been taken by the scrimshaw artist and carved and then decorated or inked with certain pigments to bring out the features in it. You can imagine being at sea for years at a time, what to do. This is one of the available things to do. You had plenty of whalebone lying around, and sailors obviously were very able with their hands, very accomplished in producing rope work and that sort of thing. So this is something of an extension of the sailor arts that were known about that period. Burdett himself, who was the producer of the scrimshaw that we have in this collection, was actually taken or died as a result of chasing a whale. His foot apparently caught in a harpoon line, and he was dragged underwater and drowned and so on. And that wasn't uncommon. It was a very dangerous industry to be involved in for those who sailed for a number of years in the Pacific. This is probably the centerpiece in terms of our representation of Herman Melville and his life. If you look very carefully, you'll see there are two initials inked with a different hand in either side of the scrimshaw panel, H.M., very faintly. This has been traced back by Melville scholars and art historians to Melville's family home. So you have here not simply an image of whaling, a product of art coming from the whaling industry and from that period, but also a tangible link back to Melville's own life. Whaling, you see, was very important for the production of whale oil, which lubricated and provided lamp fuel and so on, and also for the production of certain other products that were used in clothing. For example, the stiffening in corsets during the Victorian era came from whalebone. It was a thoroughly American industry, and this is perhaps something we don't realize today, that apparently 8 out of 10 whale ships operating in the world in the middle of the 19th century were actually owned by New Englanders. And also, San Diego had actually a whaling industry in its own right, sort of a shore whaling industry, you might say. It was different in the sense that the whalers did not set out in large ships to actually capture whales for years at a time. It was all based on the shore here. What would happen is that they would set out in small boats, wait for passing whales, harpoon them, and then drag them to shore and flense them or cut the flesh out or the blubber out. Although the fact is that most of the whale ships operative in the middle of the 19th century were owned by Americans or New Englanders, to be exact, their crews were multinational. And this comes through in Moby Dick. You see, the harpooners represent different cultures, different societies, and so on. Melville gives them voice and actually paints them in a very positive light. Queequeg is both a humorous, compassionate, and extremely skillful person. Melville really attempts to give greater voice to characters that are not represented in American literature during that period. Once you wade through some of the other portions of the narrative and get to these crucial texts, these crucial passages that he puts forward, I think it does become very relevant for our own modern sensibilities. Contemporary critics were varied in their appreciation of both Melville and Gauguin for a variety of reasons. First of all, both the artist and the writer challenged contemporary artistic sensibilities and also a sort of Judeo-Christian ethic, monogamy, and a perception of the pagan other by giving them a certain dignity in both artistry and through the words of Melville. I think Melville and Gauguin were also united, even though they never met, they were united in their criticism of what they saw as the worst abuses of colonialism and indeed Christianization or attempts to convert and co-opt indigenous cultures in the Pacific. Ironically, Moby Dick, despite the fact that it is probably his most well-known novel today, is something of a disaster in the lifetime of Melville himself. He didn't get any sort of fame. He was very much disappointed with its reception by the public. I think Moby Dick endures in our contemporary fascination, largely because of the theme that it actually treats. It's an epic, and so in many senses, it encompasses many of the human nature's deepest and darkest quests and also secrets as well. Ahab is something of an enigma. He searches for this whale, but we don't quite know what's going to happen until the very end. Is he going to succeed, or will he in fact be swallowed up by the ocean itself? This was seen not so much as, or not only as an economic quest, but also as something of a sacred hunger, a sacred quest, referring back to biblical times when the whale, or Leviathan, was seen as the great nemesis or enemy of the human race. So epically, this really works well in Moby Dick, because here we have this struggle between human aspirations, vengeance, envy and so on, the quest for glory, and then the untamed beast from the sea, the Leviathan. Moby Dick really does try and grapple with what is it to be human? What is it to struggle? What is it to confront evil or the unknown? And these are perennial themes. These are themes that don't go away.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.